Our text for today is found in the book of James. We are going to be in chapter 5. We are going to look at verses 19 and 20, which are the closing verses of the final chapter in the book of James. Which means our series on how faith works is coming to a close. And it comes in a most interesting way and at a most interesting time. But James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, reads as follows. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you open our eyes and we be able to do things that we've never done before in your power, may be able to see things we've never saw before because of your Spirit, that some man, some woman, some boy, some girl may come to know you in the free pardon of sin and understand what the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. We ask for preaching power and listening grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why do people get lost? We're going to find out the answer to that if you think with me on this thought. Our thought from this text is simply this. A walk on the wrong side. A walk on the wrong side. People get lost in the woods, at the park, for many different reasons. Can they get lost in the daylight? Sure they can get lost when it's daylight. You know they can get lost at night. They get lost when the sun is going down. So it's not always the time of day. There's other reasons why people get lost. Many of the time I've received a call from the sheriff's department that I need to go over to the horse trails because someone has ridden into the woods. And usually it was hours ago while the sun was still up or the sun was starting to set. But now it's 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night and they have not returned. Many of the time I get a call from the camp store. Oh, we've got somebody out on the bike trail. We've got somebody out on the hiking trail and they're lost. And we need you to come and do something about it. Well, Jesus made an interesting observation, and he said, how can the blind lead the blind? The blind can't lead the blind, lest they both fall into a ditch. My problem has been, and still partially is that there were many of the trails I had never been on. So, they call me and say, they're out there. I said, they're out there where? Somewhere! And you're supposed to go find them. I said, I'm supposed to go find them when I don't know where I'm going. Okay. Doesn't really work very well, so I've been attempting to learn the trail. So I've been on all of them, some of them more than once, and they're very entertaining. Why do people get lost? They get lost for the following reasons. They get lost because they're confused. They get lost because they're misdirected. They get lost because they're ignorant. They get lost because they follow somebody else who doesn't know where they're going or how to get there. And what do you mean when you say all that? I mean simply this. You don't know east from west, north from south. But you think you do, or you thought you did, until you get in the woods and all of a sudden there are no shadows to give you light from the sun. There is no mountain that you always saw to the north that you can look at and go, oh, you went around the bend, down the gully, into the ravine, and all of a sudden you don't know where you are. Or the trail that you thought you were following seems to have stopped. It was a nice, well-trampled, well-worn path that you were just kind of strolling along doing your thing, and then, oh, what happened here? I seem to have lost my way. And some people, they get confused. Some people, you know, they just don't know nothing. Shouldn't barely let them out of the house. They're dangerous to themselves and to other people. And, you know, sometimes they get the directions wrong. You know, you start down the path, and then you take the fork to the right. And they're going, I got it, you got it, got it. And they start down the path, and they come to the fork, and they go left. And then they're like, or, you know, you've done the old, like the commercial on TV where the guy's driving a Durango, and his wife's saying, you know, it's got this nice new Durango, we're hauling the big boat behind us, it's got the GPS in it, you like this truck? Yes. And why don't you use the GPS? He goes, oh, I think I know where we're at. And she goes, yeah, we were here before. We're going around in circles. Some people are just wandering around in circles because they don't know how to get out of where they are. So, you know, they're confused. Sometimes you go in the woods and things happen. You step in a hole. You walk past a limb and it says hello to your head. And you get a knock and a whack. And, you know, you're dazed. Or people go, well, there was sunlight when we came in here. What time did you come in? 8:30? It was light when we came in. We were just going to take a little ride into the woods and come right back. And it got dark. Does it do that every day? Well, yes. Were you expecting it to happen today? Some people, they get lost because they're not prepared. You know, I've got my flashlight. And then, you know, it gets dark and you go, click, click, click. There's no batteries in this flashlight. Or, my bulb's burned out. Or, the batteries are dead. And they're like, oops. People get lost for all kinds of reasons. And I mean, we have gone around the lake and got the loudspeaker out. Where are you? We're listening for the sound of your voice. Just shout and we'll know where you're at.
I'm over here. I'm over here.
Louder, we can't hear you.
I'm over here. I'm over here.
Nobody likes to be lost. Now, I can't see because I wear glasses, but usually when we go on trips, I'm the one they give the map to. Because I always bring a map. I always say when you're going to a place you've never been before, you should, my Boy Scout training kicks in, two little words, be prepared. If you're prepared, then you can deal with the unexpected and the unknown because you've eliminated that. The same way people get lost in the woods, people can get lost in the Christian life. And you say, but you come to church every week, you still get lost. You read your Bible, you can still get lost. You pray, you can still get lost. This says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. So who he's talking about here is Christians. Christians who get lost. They get sidetracked. They chase rabbit trails. They get off the path. Four things I want you to remember. They all start with A, and then I'm going to take my C. When somebody's lost, they need help. When somebody's lost, there are things they can't do for themselves that they need somebody else to do for them. When somebody's lost, first of all, they have to admit they're lost. As long as you're out there, I know where I'm going, I know where I'm going. Okay, keep going then. And maybe you'll find out, maybe I don't know where I'm going. So, you know, you got to recognize the fact that you are lost. The only problem is sometimes we don't see it. We think we know what we're doing. We think we got it all together. We think we're going down the path. We're going down the path, but it's the wrong path. We're off the main path and onto a rabbit trail. So, the first word is awareness. The second word is attitude. The third word is approach. And the fourth word is appreciate. Because what it says here is those of us who know where we're going have a duty to those who are lost. And the first thing you have to do is be aware. And you see, there's a line, which is not a fine line, between being concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ and being nosy. Being nosy means you just want to know what their business is because you have a need to know. Not that it's going to change your life, not that you're going to help them, not that you're going to bless them, not that you're going to do anything for them. You just want to know what's going on. People don't need that. But what people do need is somebody who is aware of somebody who has a problem. They either blaze the trail before you, and they look back. And you're not on the trail. And the reason why you're not on the trail is because you got sidetracked. And they're there to tell you, you people called parents, you're trailblazers. You know what life's about. You were 10 once, you were 20 once, you were 30 once, you were 40 once, etc., etc. You know what it's like to be young. You know what it's like to be a summer chicken, a spring chicken, fall chicken, winter chicken. You know what that's all about. You can tell people stuff because people are still people. So when somebody comes along and they're starting to get off the path, we have an obligation to say something. So you should be aware of what people are doing. If you see me getting off the track, don't just let me fall off the cliff and then say, are you all right? Help me before I get to the cliff to say, hey, You're going the wrong way. You need to stop and get your bearings. You need to come back over here where you need to be instead of where you think you want to be. There's an awareness. So we should be aware and watch out for one another because we love one another and we're concerned. We're not busybody. What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? I don't need that. Just be aware of how our walk with Christ is going because we're all supposed to be going the same direction. We don't all walk at the same pace. We don't all grow the same way, but we're all going the same direction. So we're all supposed to be kind of helping each other to get there. So first of all, we should be aware of how things are going with people. And that's wisdom that comes from God. Second thing is an attitude. Because I guarantee you, if I come up to you and I know you're having a struggle, Roger, and I make you feel lower than dirt and underneath the ground, or I offend you and put you on the offensive because of my attitude, then you're going to get an attitude and I may be giving you good advice. You know, Charlie, if you really want to get along with your wife better, here's what you need to do. So anyway, you know, Charlie's like, oh yeah, you ain't telling me nothing because I don't like the way you're saying it. Everything I say goes over and goes through. Nothing goes in. So he's still got the same problem. When we have the wrong attitude, whether we're giving advice or getting advice, it doesn't help. Person's still lost. People have problems. Robert, I know what your problem is. I'm going to tell you what it's about. Here's why you can't. Because you do this and you don't do that and you need to this and you need to that and got that finger up there and it's just a working. And you're like, you know, you're like, put the finger up. I want to make my point. So I got an attitude, and you got an attitude, so what did you get out of what I said? Absolutely nothing. Are you still lost? Sure you are. The third thing is our approach. Galatians gives us a wonderful method for how to approach people. If you look at Galatians chapter 6, it's interesting what it says, because if we practice this, we won't ever have a problem talking to anybody whenever there's a problem. Because the whole idea of somebody being off the path, somebody taking a walk on the wrong side, is simply that they have wandered away and we want to restore them back to where they should be. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says this, brethren, if a man, could be a woman, a boy or a girl, be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is another way of saying strength under control. Why? Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes we're quick to recognize that people are having problems because we've had the same one. And we know that if you keep doing what you're doing, David, it's going to go a whole lot worse than it was for me because you are in it to a lot more than I was. So I'm going to try and help you to get you back where you need to be. But I got to have the right spirit. And I got to consider the fact that, you know, if I haven't been tempted in this area, I may be tempted, and I'm going to tell everybody how to be married. Yeah, you need to do this, and you need to do that. Well, really? You know, like, you're doing so hot yourself. Well, you know, those who can't teach. It's the attitude that we have when we approach people that is going to set the tone. And, you know, we should always pray before we do anything when it comes to people. That God will give us wisdom, God will give us knowledge, God will give us the words. How to say, when to say, what is needed to be said. Because we want to turn the person from being off the path to back in the path. And it shouldn't be a negative thing. Beating people over the head, last time I saw, most people that got beat ran away. So you think that beating somebody is going to get you back in here. You're going to beat them back into the church. Get in there and slam the door. Now stay in there and learn something. Oh, yeah. They're going to sit down and go, Lord, teach me, please, help me to be what I should be. They're looking for a window or door, any way to get out of here. I don't want to be with these people if they can't love me. Well, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. In 1 Corinthians 11, it's talking about when they were having the Lord's Supper. One of the things it says in there, that there are some people who have died. And you ask the question, why did they die? Because they were living in a life that was wrong out of the will of God. And God said, you know what? It's one thing for you, Beverly, to mess up your life. But when what you do starts affecting everybody around you, not only at home, at the church, on your job, and you just keep going and getting worse and worse and worse, I love you too much to let you mess it up everybody else. Your number is up. So there are some people that have gotten sick and died because they were in sin. And the point is how many people love sin? Well, the Bible says anybody can love it for a season. You know, you get out and do stuff because the world looks like they're having a bad time on Friday night and Saturday night when they're coming out of the bars. And last night I was on my way home and they said, there's a big party down there on 138. Still 75 of them down there having a good time. Block off the road. They just waited and they chased them down in the cars and they were just having it. So, you know, my point is people are going to have a good time being wrong. But God loves us too much to let us keep on being wrong. And when you've got children, when your children are wrong, you just, well, they'll learn. Sometimes you don't learn because sometimes the mistakes we make are fatal. You let somebody just keep on doing what they're doing, it's going to kill them. It will kill them. That's what happens. And he's saying, you know, if you want to keep people from dying sooner than they should, and you know that what they're doing is going to take them that direction, because either A, what they're doing is going to kill them, or B, God's going to have to cut it off because it just can't go on. You save a soul from the error of his way. You save a soul from death. And you know what? Here's the hard part. You cover a multitude of sins. And that's where the appreciation comes in. When the people at work sit me down and say, we want to talk to you because we're concerned about you. He says, we care about you, and we like you, and we want you around. So, am I supposed to say, I'm all right, I don't have any problems, get out of my face, I don't want to hear nothing you've got to say? Their attitude was right, their approach was right, their spirit was right, but I took it all wrong because I didn't want to listen. Well, you see, the problem is if I don't want to listen to what the truth is, then I suffer the consequences. And that's the problem we have when people don't want to admit there's a problem, or they're lost, and they're wrong. But when you come to somebody and you tell them in love what God has said, you tell them in love what they're doing wrong, when you tell them how to get it right, and you tell them why, because you're concerned, and God's concerned, and everybody's concerned, they listen. Because what I told them was, well, they said, so why are you having these problems? I said, because I'm tired. He said, well, go home and go to bed. I said, okay, I'm going home. I went home last night with the baby. So that was last night. What about tonight? Are you going home and get your rest tonight? I said, yes, I'm going home and get my rest tonight. So, tonight is another night. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going home and get my rest because somebody who cared about me told me you have a problem. You're getting a little off the path here. We want to keep you around. We want to keep you straight. We want to keep you functioning. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. God wants us to keep us around. He wants to keep us straight. He wants to keep us functioning. And so he sends somebody in love. You know, don't be one of those people who say, unless I see Jesus on the end of my bed, unless I hear a voice from heaven, unless I see a finger writing on the wall, don't you come up and tell me nothing. Who do you think God uses to talk to people? He uses people to talk to people because we can relate to one another. But the biggest appreciation any of us should ever have is for A, what has happened, or what can happen. The Bible says, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, bring him back from wandering and being off the path, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. You see, this doesn't just apply to people in the church. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says that the lost are in sin and they're in darkness and they don't know they're lost. And it's up to us who have been found to go out and seek the lost. Because we not only save saints from the error of the way, we not only save saints from death, we also save sinners from hell when we let them know they are on the wrong path. And unless they come to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're going to end up in death, they're going to end up in destruction, they're going to end up in misery, and they're going to pay for everything they've ever done in a place called hell, not just for a day, but for eternity. But there is a way. There is one who has come to give light in the midst of the darkness, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we should always be able to say to someone who is lost, follow me as I follow Christ. Because if we're following Christ, we will always be in step and in time and in tune where he wants us to be, when he wants us to be there, doing what he wants us to do. And God can do things through us if we make ourselves available, both to those inside the church and outside the church who have strayed off the path. So we don't want to take people from taking a walk on the wrong side to finding the path of holiness which leads to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be challenged with the responsibility of being sensitive to those around and even ourselves, that we can sometimes wander ourselves, but you've given us things to keep us straight and keep us strong and keep us true. And Father, may the things that you put in our life to keep us where we should be the things we are allowed to use in other people's lives to put them where they should be, and that's in the center of your word, in the center of your way, in the center of your will. Father, help us not only be concerned about those inside these four walls, but also those outside those four walls in our circles of contact, whether it's a family, a friend, our neighbors, our co-workers. Father, help us to be the light that brings them to the light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.